Hi friends, welcome back to today's episode of the Bible Project Daily Podcast. And we're continuing our journey through the whole Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And today we land in Numbers chapter 10, and we're going to take 2 days in this important chapter. Today we're just going to look at the first 10 verses, and I've called it as a working title, God's Warning Call. Now throughout the Bible, from the book of Numbers all the way to the book of Revelation, God is seen to use an instrument, a trumpet. So what's the significance of the fact that God chooses to use a trumpet as a way of communicating to his people of all things? For example, in Numbers chapter 9, we saw him use a cloud. We looked at that last time, and this cloud moved the people, told the people when to move on and when to stop. So the cloud moves, the people go on, and when the cloud stops, the people stop. But now in chapter 10, all of a sudden, it talks about the use of a trumpet. Of all the things I thought I might speak on in the Bible in my life, I never imagined that I would someday speak a whole message on the trumpet. But in this passage of scripture, it's what it deals exclusively with. So that's what we're going to look at today. But every time I've come across one of these more difficult, unusual, challenging passages, boy, have I found out that there's some gold to be mined therein. But what makes this even more challenging today is what God appears to say the use of the trumpet is for in this Old Testament context. And it kind of appears to have virtually nothing to do with what we as Christians in the New Testament and how we're living. Or does it? Well, that's the issue we're going to look at today, people. So what I'd like to do is propose that we look together at God's call on the trumpet in Numbers chapter 10 and see if we can figure out what's really going on here and if it has anything to teach us today. So welcome to the Bible Project Daily Podcast. Now, before we begin today's episode, I'd like to quote for you a couple of authors of Bible commentaries on this chapter that I read in preparation. One said this: the cloud in chapter 9 represented the divine initiative and leadership, but the trumpet here in chapter 10 constitutes the response of human leadership as it summons the congregation to gather before the tent of meeting and signals the movement of the advance of each tribal group. That's actually pretty helpful, isn't it? Another Bible commentary said God ordered the priest to announce his movement to the people by blowing these two silver trumpets because the individual Israelites could not at all watch the cloud constantly, not individually anyway. So the blast from the trumpet would be able to reach the furthest tent in the camp. And remember, we're talking about probably 2 million people here, so spread over a very wide area. So that's helpful as well. That's correct as well, I believe. And another commentary said, in order for the people to know precisely when to move and how to move, it was necessary to devise a system of signals. And this consisted of the blowing of these two specially made silver trumpets, whose purpose was both to signal the gathering of the people and then to announce their continued march forward. Now, that certainly gives us some ideas by way of an introduction to what we're about to see here. However, what those authors said about this passage, I agree with wholeheartedly, but I don't believe that is exhaustive. I think it's actually isn't the complete story here, because there are a number of reasons God instructed them to use the trumpet. So as we go through the passage, what I want us to do is just keep in mind the various usages of the trumpet that are going to be revealed as we go through it, and then that might help us figure out how exactly in reality this relates to us. So let's just walk together through this passage, and I'll begin by reading for you the first 4 verses, which say, "The Lord said to Moses, make 2 trumpets of hammered silver, and use them for calling the community together and for having the camp set out. When both are sounded, the whole community is to assemble before you at the entrance to the tent of meeting. If only one is sounded, the leaders, the heads of the clans of Israel, are to assemble before you." Okay, I'm going to pause right there, because these four verses give us the first use of the trumpet in this passage. Firstly, it's saying that the trumpet is to be used to call the people together to assemble, to gather them. It then says in these opening two verses that following the calling of the community together, then they give them the direction of the movement out of the camp. So let me just make a brief comment about these two opening verses. I found it interesting that some of the commentators want to do at this point is try and describe for us what these trumpets look like. But the text, in fact, doesn't give us any indication of what they look like. It just tells people about their purpose, and it calls the congregation together. In other words, it's an audio cue to assemble the people. But because of representations on Jewish coins and later on Roman frescoes, these trumpets are usually depicted as long tubes flared at the end. But the point I think is worth making is we don't really know what they looked like. But we do know they were used to summon the people to the tabernacle to alert them it was time to break camp and begin the process of getting ready to move. So the point of this passage is that both of these trumpets, remember that there were two, when both of them are blown, all the congregation would gather before the tent of meeting and before the tabernacle. However, it also notes that if you blow one, then only the leaders and the heads of the divisions of Israel were called to gather. So these verses are clearly indicating that it's for the gathering, on some occasions for the entire congregation, and on others it's just a clarion call for the leaders to gather. So as we go through this passage, we're going to see that there are other reasons as well that they blew the trumpets. There are some other usages here. In these opening verses, it's simply seen as the blowing of the trumpet in order to assemble the people. One other little observation before I move on is the text says that if they could be blown twice or once. Some scholars have said that there's maybe even different pitches that would announce the departure, the gathering first of all, and then the departure from the camp. No reason to disagree with that, but I can't find anything in the text that would confirm that one way or another. Anyway, let's pick up with verse 5 and move on. When a trumpet is sounded, the tribes camping on the east are to set out. At the sound of the second blast, the camps in the south are to set out. The blast will be the signal for setting out. To gather the assembly, blow the trumpets, but not with the signal for setting out. The sons of Aaron and the priests are to blow the trumpets. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you and the generations to come. So there you can see there are two different signals. One to gather the whole assembly and another to set out. All right, now this is the second use of the trumpet. The first was for the assembly of the people. Clearly the second use is for the advance to move on. In other words, they say, we've gathered you now we're going to move. So why the tribes in the east started the journey first, I can't really say. But it's very characteristic of everything else in this book that God appears to approach everything in a very organized, prescribed way. So he says, I'm going to give you an order for the tents in which they are to leave. And he states here that the first group to go are those on the east side of the tabernacle, and they are to move out first. Now, I would normally would expect it to be the west next, but if you look at the verse 6, it says that when the sound they advanced for the second time, it was those in the south who began the journey. So while it may be safe to assume that both west and north followed in that order, in this case, some suggest, seems reasonable to me, that they may have been departing in a clockwise rotation from around the camp. As they fell in line, each would sort of filter out and join the procession out. At any rate, he says in verse 7 that when the assembly is to be gathered together, blow the sound of the advance, and they're to leave in that way. So we have, first of all, the use of the trumpet to sound the gathering of the assembly of the people, and the second one is to move out. So that's two distinct purposes so far. But there's a third now going to be revealed in verse 9. When you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you will be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies. Okay, so this is the third use of the trumpet, and a third use of the trumpet is for going into battle. Now, there are a couple of things I believe we need to note here. Verse 9 says, when you go into the battle in your own land. So where they are now, and when this is written, remember at this moment they're still camped in Sinai. So he's giving instructions for what's going to happen later when they get to the land of Palestine. Now at that point, this is not far off. I mean, very shortly, they're going to pick up and leave, and they're going to go to this place called Kadesh Barnea. And it is God's intention that from Kadesh Barnea, which is, by the way, in the very south end of the land, they're going to carry on from there. However, as we progress through the Pentateuch, we will find out that they get to Kadesh Barnea and they decide they're not going to enter the land immediately. Now, we'll get to that in a bit. But the crux of it is God says, because that's happened, he says, all right, then this generation who refused to go into the land is going to die in the wilderness. And they wandered in the land for the next nearly 40 years. And then that generation is actually seen to die off. But then the second generation comes up to the east side of the Jordan River, crossing the Jordan, cut the land in half, and they conquer the land that way. So whereas that might sound like it's going to be implemented shortly, these things are going to happen very soon, these events and the response using the trumpet will not be used for a period, and they will be implemented over a period of nearly 40 years. Furthermore, it's worth noting it says if you get into the land and the people oppress you, so apparently he's talking about the fact that they're going to enter the land and people are going to, well, maybe out and out attack them, but the idea here is of oppression. So they're not accepted, they're discriminated against, and they're oppressed in the land, leading possibly to out and out conflict. And when that happens, he says, so you don't have to wait for out and out war, at the point of that oppression, he says, when you're in that land and the people press in on you in that way, that is the point to sound the trumpet. And you will be remembered by the Lord God, it says, who will save you from the oppression of your enemies. Now remember, the priests are the ones to do this, we're told in verse 8. So one of the functions of the priest is, as well as calling people to assemble, as well as all the stuff going on around the tabernacle, they also have a responsibility of to call people into battle, into war even. And I think that's interesting. The priests, one of their responsibilities is to call the people to arms. And what it says is, if the people are obedient, if they do what he's telling them to do here, then God will remember them. They will be remembered before the Lord, it says, and the Lord will save you from your enemies. And the word saved could actually, and is sometimes translated, as delivered. All right, there's a principle embedded here, and throughout Scripture, and it's very important to grab hold of, I think. And that is, if you've got a problem, friends, then blow the trumpet. Because if you do, the Lord is going to remember you. Call out to the Lord. So I think the big biblical principle here is that when you obey the Lord will remember you. And if you are oppressed or battled against, the Lord is going to deliver you. He's going to save you. Okay, that's three trumpet calls so far, isn't it, people? Let's talk about the fourth use of the trumpet. We've already covered the first three. Do you remember what they are? Are calling people together, signaling them to move forward, and thirdly, preparing them and calling them to arms, to war. So there's another one. Three uses of the trumpet: assembly, advance, and war. Let's hear another one. Verse 10. Also at your times of rejoicing, in your appointed festivals and new moon feasts, you are to sound the trumpet over the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. That will be a memorial for you before the Lord. I am the Lord your God. So the fourth use of the trumpet here is before these special appointed times, the special occasions. That's when trumpets are to be sounded, not only to gather the people, but here's the important thing, to invoke the presence of the Lord in those celebrations. Now, in Israel's history, the trumpets were in fact blown on the following festive occasions: Passover, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, Tabernacles, and the New Moon festivals. But the call wasn't just to announce the festivals, the call was to invite God's presence among his people during those celebrations. Now, as I spent time preparing and reflecting on these verses in chapter 10 of Numbers, it became clear to me that at this point in the journey, the Israelites, of course, were in a fairly spiritually good place, spiritually strong. They've only recently, remember, received the law, and they've very recently committed themselves to following it and doing that faithfully. However, their obedience here and at this point in time will contrast sharply with their later failures coming up. Okay, that's the Old Testament passage about what this use of trumpets is all about. But what does it mean for Christians today? Does it have any relevance to us when we consider it from a New Testament perspective? Should we, be incorporating trumpets into our church services? Well, that might sound interesting, but before you go speaking to your pastor or minister, let's just pause a moment and explore before making any decisions about that. The question is, what is the relationship of the trumpet to the church in this day and age? Well, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 gives us a little insight. So reading 13, verses 13 to 18, it says this: Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So lo and behold, these trumpets have a significance for Christians also. Let's think about this for a moment. What was the significance of the trumpets in Numbers chapter 4? Let me remind you, there were four reasons. The first was assembly. So when we hear the trumpet, we're going to assemble. And in a New Testament context, when we hear the trumpet, we too are going to assemble, but this time in the air. In the New Testament, the assembly at the call of the trumpet is to meet the Lord in the air. So the trumpet still has its New Testament context of assembly. And that's the significance for a Christian believer today. We are too going to be called to assemble by the call of a trumpet. And we're going to assemble, be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 also sheds some light on this. Behold, I tell you a mystery, it says, verse 51. We shall not fall asleep. Again, that's just a figure of speech for the death of a person. Continuing, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. All right, what's that talking about? Answer, it's actually discussing something called the rapture, and also what it means when it says in the twinkling of the eye. Now, that's a lovely King James poetic translation. The Greek word, when it talks about here, it says it's being done in a word that we actually translate as atom. In other words, this was saying this will be done in a period of time that is so immeasurably small. The word used here that we sometimes call atom was believed at that time to be the smallest amount of anything which by nature was indivisible and dividing any further. So at this time, the word used as the smallest amount possible is saying it's going to happen in an instant, the blink of an eye, the twinkling of the eye. All lovely poetic translations of what's actually being reflected here. The fact is it's going to happen really fast, so fast. And this is where it gets interesting. It says that's going to happen, and it's going to happen at a point we don't expect it, and it's going to happen quickly, and it's going to be at the last trumpet call. Now, if you know anything about the Bible and what it says about prophecy, you may perhaps know that the Bible teaches there is a great tribulation coming. Daniel chapter 9 actually says it will last for 7 years. And Matthew 24 immediately says after that tribulation, taking it as read from Daniel, that the Lord will be coming. So very clearly, these two passages, when put together, indicate that there's going to be a 7-year tribulation, and at the end of that, the Lord will come back to the earth. Now, apart from those basic facts and the fact that there's going to be a rapture, this is where the fun starts. People will say, theologians will say, different Christians will say the rapture will occur before the tribulation, pre-trib, in the middle of the tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation, post-trib. Now, I don't have time to go into all of this tonight, but years ago, I came to a relatively firm conclusion about this, which I will share with you, but you'll have to wait till I get into Daniel and Revelation. But in general, we know that in the book of Revelation, there are 3 series of judgments: the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. Now, untangling all of this stuff in the book of Revelation can be quite a challenge, and I'm glad that I've got 7 more years, I estimate, deep in the Word of God and in the Bible before I even begin the amazing challenge of bringing you my interpretation of Revelation. However, it is pretty clear on a basic level that there are these 3 series of judgments. Now, there's all sorts of ways you can configure these 3 sets of judgments, and Christians certainly do that, but I think it's very evident that all 3 go all the way to the end. Now, except not everybody agrees with that, but the point is this is going to be played out in some manner, and the other thing I want to point out is it is just that at the last trump, which is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, at the last trumpet, this is all going to be wrapped up, so to speak, and that is the trump of God, the trumpet call of God. So this trumpet, as identified in Revelation 15, is the trumpet call of an angel, which indicates that there are possibly 2 different trumpet calls to in and towards the end times. Now, there are arguments upon arguments about this and what it means, and I could spend the next year going into it, but I think what you can say at face value is the last trump at the rapture is the trumpet call of God, and that is for the church to meet him in the air. And the 7th trumpet, the last trump in the series of calls in Revelation, talking about the tribulation, and that is a different thing. The trumpet call at the rapture, the rising up of the church into the heavenlies, is that which is the trumpet call of God. But the trumpet in Revelation, I see it clearly being signaled as being blown by an angel. Therefore, I think these are 2 different trumpets and 2 different events. Now, there are people, some people who are much more experienced and much more mature and certainly more well-read than I am, have different views on this. But that is my basic overview, which I'll go into more detail when we get into these books themselves. But what I say and why I think this is important is that you can be led down the path if you don't have a balanced an open view of this, where you spend your whole life simply looking for the Antichrist. But friends, I would like to suggest to you that we all should at least equally be spending time not just looking for the Antichrist. I'm not saying we shouldn't be aware of that, but we should also, as well as looking, we should be listening for this trumpet. And that's the way we should live our lives. We want to live waiting to hear that sound. If my understanding on this issue of Scripture is right, at any minute, we friends could be called to assemble with the Lord in the air and forever be with Him. And Christians who are able to say that and understand that, then I think we're able even to get to the point as to view these end time events as positive and actually be able to say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Okay, I'll leave it there for today. Thanks for joining with me. I'll see you back here again tomorrow on the Bible Project Daily Podcast.